shores, those beautiful sailors journeying to the south and the North Americas with ease, in their ships with painted sails. To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends. Though gods they were. And as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Great Atlantis.
Are we passing these around?
Yeah. Okay. What I'm going to show a little bit later. Yeah, go ahead and pass around. And in Atlantis, they had technologies that were extraordinary. They had the knowledge of flight, healing, telepathy. The Atlanteans mixed and mingled with the gods and the ascended masters in a way that other cultures never have. Last time I spoke, I talked a little bit about building an ark. Remember that? About people working together and creating an ark, and you know, how we fill ourselves with light and truth, and by gathering and then going out into the world, and by virtue of who we have become, we radiate that goodness, that spirituality, and make a difference wherever we go. And so I started reading more and more on the building of an ark. And some of my readings took me into some Alice Bailey and the Aquarian Gospel and the labors of Hercules, and they all tied in to what an ark was. I found that I wasn't really wrong about what I wanted to do, but there was so much more that I didn't know until I really dug into it. And I was able to trace the beginning of the ark back through this particular book by Henrietta Bernstein to the days of Atlantis. And based on her information and the information of Madame Blavatsky and a little bit of Alice Bailey, this is the story that was revealed to me through these people. You have to go back in your mind. And the purpose of this presentation, one of my goals is to help you expand your mind to see a bigger picture, bigger than you've ever seen, and the role that you and we collectively play in the unfolding of this divine scheme or this divine plan that was set aside for the development and the evolution of humanity. Okay, so 10,000 years before Christ, there was a continent in the Atlantic Ocean called Atlantis. And this race had developed itself to a very high place. They had reached an apotheosis which meant that they could go really no higher than they were. And they were operating under the ray of active intelligence, third ray. Very smart, but not as spiritually developed as the hierarchy would have preferred. And so events happened. The dark side, the dark brothers, became efficient in perpetrating their dark scheme into the scheme of the light. And there was a lot of confusion in the continent of Atlantis. And so it was decided that it would be sunk. Well, the high priest of Atlantis said, well, we have all this knowledge, all this information. What are we going to do with it? It'll all go to waste and it'll be buried forever in the ocean and underneath the sea. And so the high priests came together and they said, well, we'll take all of this information and we'll place it on two large scrolls or pillars. They were called pillars, which you're going to find out about in the Lost Teachings of Atlantis. And here are these pillars. And they took all their information in the form of symbols and phrases and bits and pieces of information, and the high priest inscribed these pillars with all of this knowledge, the advanced knowledge of the race of Atlantis. And in charge of all this was the high priest Enoch. And so Enoch takes these pillars that have now been inundated with all this great knowledge and wisdom, and he says, well, we got to get this stuff off the continent. What are we going to do? Well, along came Noah. Noah says, well, I've got a boat, but dang, I can't fit those great big pillars in it. I've got to condense them down. And so he condensed all the information from these pillars on two emerald tablets. And this was the beginning of the ark. And he put these emerald tablets in a big box, and he put the box in the boat. And he took off across the ocean as Atlantis was sinking. He was waving goodbye. And he takes this information over to Hermes Trismegistus, who is also in Egyptian lore and Greek lore, a god of high renown. And Hermes, who's a messenger from the higher god, says, well, I'll take this information and I'll use it and we'll start a new culture with a new religion, and an advanced civilization. And so he began started Egypt out of all this information. And you'll find now that this knowledge that's on these tablets is passed from king to king to king. And yeah, it's the wisdom of God to conceal a thing, and it is the glory of the king to discover it or to find it out. So here's all this information on these tablets. It goes from Enoch to Noah to Hermes. And Hermes begins Egypt, and they have their culture for several thousand years. And they reach their high point until they become corrupted. They become corrupted because what do? They take all these poor Hebrews and make slaves out of them. And the original Atlantean highest thought in their belief system was the principle of unity or oneness or sharing. And their bigger picture was to connect with nature. Everything about nature was where God revealed itself, himself, herself, through nature, through the stars, through the astrology, through the constellations of the stars, they would discover God. And through humanity, they had a strong connection with each other. And through that connection, they would find God. So these were some of their keys to unlocking the mysteries of the universe. And so the Egyptians began to corrupt these teachings. And, well, they needed someone to rescue this information. And who should come along? Moses. Now, Moses is a real interesting character. He's a Hebrew, but he's found in the reeds and the bulrushes by the daughter of Pharaoh. So Moses becomes the grandson of Pharaoh, who is misusing these Atlantean technologies. But Moses is trained in the courts of Pharaoh to become a high priest. High priest in the city of Heliopolis. He knows a lot. He's learned a lot. He discovers his origin. He says, well, you know what? Enough's enough. And so he calls down the plagues of God to free his people. And you know the story. You've seen Cecil B. DeMille's, you know, Moses, and brings down the plagues, and the Pharaoh finally releases the Hebrews. Well, because Moses is a high priest, he has access to the Ark of the Covenant, which has in it these emerald tablets. And he takes them. And they go into the wilderness. And they take the long way to the promised land, because God has told them, you know, you're my chosen people, I'll take you to the land of Canaan. Well, it's only 120 miles away from Egypt, where Moses grew up. But because the Hebrews need to release a lot of negativity and establish their trust in God and each other and nature, they take the long way. They take a 1,000-mile detour out in the Sinai desert, and they're 40 years out in the desert. And God says, well, I'm glad you got this ark. I want to put some more information in it. So Moses goes up to Mount Sinai and gets information for his people.